720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio on what is, and there's only so many more of these before we're going to have to start talking about bad weather, Ashley, on a beautiful day, right, as we're still getting into, well, I don't know, it's actually, I think, after the 21st, isn't it technically fall? I'm not sure how that calendar goes. You know, it always feels like fall once you get to Labor Day, but I think technically it's summer till, maybe, is it the 21st?
It's technically until 8:54 tonight.
Nice.
That's when we get the autumnal equinox.
Oh wow! Well, great. Thanks, yes. Father. It's great to experience and kind of share our last day of
literal last gasps
last
of summer,
last hours of summer, right. And then of course we're going to have a blizzard next week.
But Tom Skilling, I think he calls it meteorological fall or autumn arrives with Labor Day weekend. So
yeah,
this is astronomical fall.
It always feels like you're getting away. You're on borrowed time right after it's
right.
Labor Day when it's not, you know, the kids are back in school and you feel like this. You see some leaves falling off the trees. I try to, you know, scotch tape them back on saying, hey, you know what? It's 90 degrees out.
Get back up there.
Yeah, we'll get back up there.
No, well, I had the AC on the other day. It was really warm and now not so much.
You know, because you're embracing the fact that it is still summer until 8:45 or 8:15.
8:54.
Well, okay. Well, let's get out there and enjoy some of this day. We've got a great show on tap for you today. And this is a time of year you got to really love it. Number one, we're still basically, you know, into summer, but you have all of kind of the summer stuff still going on as far as sports. And then you also have a lot of the fall stuff happening as well. This is that kind of rare time period where you've got racing on. NASCAR is into its playoffs. You've got the playoffs for baseball about ready to get going. You've got hockey starting up. You've got football starting up and the weather is still nice. It is great. It's also a great time to take a road trip. And on today's show, we are going to take a road trip. Mentioned it with Scott. We're going to pile all into the minivan and head to Milwaukee for a couple different reasons. Number one of which kicked off last night, and I'm sure a lot of listeners got a chance to check it out. 312-981-7200. If you did see it, you can call in and share. You can text in and share it with Ashley. We'll try to mention that and kind of share some of those messages and the experiences as well. But China Lights is going on. It is a festival that is happening at the Botanical Gardens up there in Milwaukee and goes throughout, I think, the 23rd of October. So it goes well into October. Supposedly amazing. And we're going to talk to quite a few people about that, as well as other things in Milwaukee. We're going to have Kristen Settle. She is the director for Visit Milwaukee. So she's going to give us all the reasons after this first break of what to do when you get up to Milwaukee. We've all been there, right? And it's not something for me. And like I said, I've spent a good amount of time that comes to mind. And I'm excited to talk to her about that. Joe Marzowski is from the Milwaukee County Parks. He's going to talk about the park system there, Botanical Gardens. They're hosting China Light, so he'll talk about that as well as some of the other things. Hoi Yen Liu, she is one of the integral members of China Light, kind of helping to put that thing together. They work, I think, the most of a year putting the things together. They've been there since August, kind of building it, and has kicked off, and so she'll share some of that as well. And then, you know, it's racing time, and we are well into the playoffs. Richmond is coming up tonight, the night race at Richmond, and excited to have Darrell Waltrip, our good friend. You know him as, you know, longtime NASCAR championship driver, Hall of Famer, legend, part of that Fox crew. So he'll be joining us a little bit after 3, so stay tuned for that. So some good stuff. And then also, think about this, actually, we've got a little bit of time, I think, in and out of some of the things, so we're going to be able to do one of our bona fide ride of the show. 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can text in, and what you do is you just share your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car, any one of those, and we're going to enter everybody that goes ahead and shares some things. We're going to enter them into the contest, maybe pull them out of a hat, and that winner will get a $25 gift card to Bona Beef for the bona fide ride of the show. So excited to see some of the cars that you guys have. Still some great car shows and cruise nights happening as we speak. So we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to have Kristen Settle on. She is from Visit Milwaukee, so keep it here. It's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Kristen Settle with Visit Milwaukee, and you're On the Road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we've talked about it. We've gone on a bunch of family road trips all around the country. This one is as close as it gets, and I know people are thinking, you know, other than for, you know, the potential rivalry, you know, the Cubs and the Brewers, or to maybe get up there and enjoy some beer gardens or some other things up there in Milwaukee, what are some of the great reasons, things you can do? Get in the car, get the family in the car, and head up to Milwaukee. On the line with us, we've got the Director of Communications for Visit Milwaukee herself, Kristen Settle. Kristen, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
So I love Milwaukee personally. You know, I think I spent a good portion of my formative years in Wisconsin, went to school at Whitewater and been in and around there for, you know, the longest time and really enjoy it. And there's, you know, lots of great restaurants and custard and the zoo is really great and all that kind of stuff. But when you think about kind of putting together a family road trip and for the listeners, I really don't have it. I was excited to be able to get a chance to talk to you because I know you'll have so many wonderful things in Milwaukee for people to get up there and do.
Yeah, you know, Milwaukee is a great family destination. It's even just a great weekend destination for anybody who wants to get away and do something new and different. Milwaukee is so wonderfully random. I mean, this is the kind of town where you can be at a beer garden in the afternoon, the ballet in the evening, and then go to a Mondo Lucha wrestling fight at night. So you know, it's one of those towns that there's literally something for everyone, and there's so much to see and do. And the nice thing about it being so close to Chicago is that it is just a very quick getaway, whether you're going to drive up in your car, which is certainly easy, or take the Amtrak Hiawatha train up too.
I think that's great. And I don't know if there's a suggestion box where you could put in kind of for the city slogans, but wonderfully random sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we like it. We think it pretty much encapsulates not only the experience that you're going to have here, but the people that you're going to find here, the food you're going to find here, and just the different experiences that you're going to have over the course of a day.
Yeah, super great Midwestern people. We've talked a lot about that. You know, good people in Milwaukee and Wisconsin in general, for sure. When it comes to the food, you know, I think just like us in a lot of different ways, you know, you kind of get pigeonholed into, you know, hot dogs, deep dish pizza, that kind of stuff. Milwaukee, what do people think of? Maybe like custard, maybe you think of like brats, you know, things like that. On the food side, and I know it's got a diverse and up-and-coming food scene, what are some things people should check out as far as getting some bites to eat up there in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, we are famous for our beer, brats, and cheese. There's no question, and we certainly have the best beer, brats, and cheese around. But we're also really well known for some of our locally owned restaurants. Milwaukee has 150 locally owned restaurants just in the downtown area, and 10 James Beard chefs call Milwaukee home. So you can find everything that you're looking for, whether that is, you know, dive food in a corner bar, all the way up to a James Beard award-winning restaurant. So couple tips. If you've never had a butter burger, I highly recommend a butter burger, and that's, of course, where you cook the burger on the griddle with butter, put it on the bun, and then put a nice big slab of butter right on top of it again. You know, very heart healthy, and some custard to go with that too. So there's lots of places around Milwaukee that serve butter burgers. I think Cops Custard is one of the more famous ones in town, and of course Gillis's Custard too has the butter burger experience. And you know, Chicago has its deep dish pizza, which I love, but Milwaukee has its own style pizza too, and it's the exact opposite of a Chicago deep dish pizza. So here in Milwaukee, we have a cracker thin crust, almost like a saltine cracker thin crust, and then with tons of toppings on it. You know, a typical Milwaukee style pizza would be sausage, mushrooms, and onions, but obviously you can get whatever you want on there. And then recently there's actually been an influx of vegan and vegetarian restaurants coming into Milwaukee, which I don't think that most people understand or can equate those two things together, but they've been really good. So it's really nice to see the diversity of restaurants that we have here in Milwaukee and the amount of family-friendly restaurants that we have here in Milwaukee. So I have three young kids. My kids are 12, 10, and 9, wow. And there isn't a place in town I wouldn't feel comfortable taking them because we really do have a family atmosphere here in town. So whether or not you're out on a date night or whether you're bringing your family, there's just a plethora of places to bring people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real diverse city. You've got a little bit of everything. Some things maybe make the headlines more than others as far as, you know, some of those traditional kind of delicacies and sort of the cheese curds. Second, and I'll have to agree with you. I don't think anybody would argue with you about that. When it comes to some of the attractions and reasons to get up there, we know China Lights is going on. It's going to be going on for the next month at the Botanical Gardens. That certainly is something that's going to bring people up there. But I know you've got things people can do all year round for the summertime. You know, the world's largest outdoor, you know, music festival, Summerfest, brings people in from all around the world, right? And it's a great way to showcase the city as well. So but other things, too, for families. I know the zoo is great. Museums, what do you think about those?
Yeah, the zoo is phenomenal. I mean, we have one of the best zoos in the country, and certainly this year they just opened their new west entrance too with their brand new otter exhibit. And then, of course, we're one of the only places in town that still has elephants at their zoo. So you can go visit Ruth and Brittany at our zoo and get that elephant experience, which is really great. So the zoo is a great place to just walk around. It's surrounded by trees and nature. It's weird. You're in the heart of the city, but at the same time, you're just surrounded by trees and nature, so you get those bright, beautiful fall colors that happen here in Milwaukee. And you're right, China Lights is a great stop. It's one of the great destinations that we have here in the fall. But there are 150 state and county parks in Milwaukee. So if you're an outdoors person, Milwaukee is certainly the place to come and get that outdoor feeling right in the heart of the city. Of course, being in Chicago, you're familiar with Lake Michigan, and we have our beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline, too, that is completely undeveloped. So it's all preserved parkland and beachland that is open to the public. You'll see bike riders. You'll see Surrey bikes. You'll see Segway riders out there having a great time. And, of course, you still have people swimming in Lake Michigan off of Bradford Beach. So that's a lot of fun, too. And then, you know, we are the city of festivals. We have over 40 festivals just in the summer months alone. And then we continue that year round. So one of the big festivals that we have coming up in October is the Milwaukee Film Festival. And this is the ninth largest film festival in the country. It's actually bigger than the one in Chicago. And there's over 300 films that are shown at five different theaters across the city. And it is phenomenal. It is just one of the best events to come. They have family-friendly movies for sure, but they also have great date night movies too.
Wow. See, no one knew that. Well, I don't want to say no one. Of course, Kristen Settle, you know, with Visit Milwaukee, she knows all of that stuff. But I think a lot of our listeners would be surprised. Not necessarily that it's bigger than Chicago. Maybe they'd be surprised. But that it is one of the bigger ones, one of the more well-attended and respected ones in the country as far as a film festival. That's great. Okay, so you got films, you've got nature, you've got festivals, you've got all those kind of things. Sometimes people like a little shopping. Milwaukee has a great downtown. When I was a kid, it was a big day when you got to go up and hang out at the Grand Avenue Mall. So I know that that has changed, and I know that you've got like a river walk, and you've done some things kind of expand some of the opportunities on the shopping side. What's out there for shopping?
Well, there's tons of stuff up here for shopping, and, you know, obviously our sales tax is a little bit lower than what you have here in Chicago, and we already know that we're pulling people up because we have an IKEA just outside of downtown, too, so, but shopping is really great. We have really turned into more of a boutique downtown, so you'll see tons of locally owned, only get it in Milwaukee kind of stores that are lining the downtown area, particularly in a neighborhood called the Third Ward, which is in downtown. It's adjacent to downtown, so as you're coming up and you're either taking the train or parking your car at your hotel, Milwaukee is infinitely walkable for sure, and we also have a bike share program too called Bubbler Bikes, but you can get from store to store just with your own 2 feet and go shopping at some of these great boutique stores. And then in Wauwatosa, a city just adjacent to Milwaukee, not even 5 miles away, we have all of those great big box stores that you love and know about, and some really fantastic outlet shopping out there too. So Milwaukee is definitely a retail destination, a great place to come and spend some money and experience the beautiful weather and, you know, stop and have a great bite to eat too. And then, of course, our museums are really well-stocked with gift shops, too. So if you're exploring the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is beautiful and the world's only moving art museum, you can stop in there and get some really extravagant gifts for yourself. So whether that's a Chihuly glass statue or an Alessi teapot in there, that's really fun. And then, of course, we have the world's only Harley-Davidson museum, too. Nice. So you can come up here, stock up on all your Harley gear at their gift shop.
Well, anybody who knows me knows extravagant is the kind of gifts. Those are the only ones that I accept. So I appreciate it and know that I can get those in Milwaukee. It is just a short road trip away, maybe about 90 minutes from most of Chicagoland. Get up there and see all the things, including China Lights, going on, chinalights.org. And so, Kristen, is there a website out for Visit Milwaukee where people can kind of see some of the festivals coming up and some of the things that they should make sure not to miss when they visit?
Yeah, our website is visitmilwaukee.org, and you can search by anything that you're looking to do. So you can search by dining, you can search by theater, you can search by museums, shopping, and a whole list will populate. Or we actually have pre-planned itineraries for you in our guides section. So if you're bringing some teenagers up to Milwaukee and need to know what to do, or if you're coming up and you want to experience all the theater that we can possibly pack into one weekend, we have all of these pre-populated guides that are just ready for you to go. So it's really just a one-stop shop, and that's visitmilwaukee.org.
Kristen Saddle, she's the director of communications over there at Visit Milwaukee. Thanks so much for what you're doing as an ambassador of our neighbors to the north, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Let's set this
party off right. Hey, Smart Trex Jr., driver of the number 78 Furniture Row Toyota, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Y'all trying to do 720 WGN on the road, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios here in Chicago. Martin Truex Jr. is going to be tackling Richmond Speedway along with the other drivers for the Monster Energy Cup coming up. And we just want to remind people, stay tuned. A little bit after 3 o'clock, we're going to have Darrell Waltrip joining us to talk a little bit about that, plus some other cool stuff that he's got going on. So stay tuned for that. And today we've got a little bit of extra time and the opportunity for a bona fide ride of the show brought to you by Bona Beef. Here's how you win. You send in 312-981-7200. You can text in. You can also call in. You can send in a picture. It's always great to see some of these cars, either your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. We're going to take all of the entries and we're going to throw them into one big hat. We're going to pull out a winner before the end of the show for a $25 gift card to Bona Beef for being the bona fide ride of the show. So good luck with that as well. When you think about some of the cars on TV, we've featured and focused on a lot of them over the years. And this was kind of a fun opportunity. A long time food guy, obviously done shows, you know, national shows, food personalities, Food Network. One of my good friends is Guy Fieri, does that show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And in the start of every show, he drives up in the red Camaro convertible, 68 Camaro. He was in town a few months ago. It takes a while to produce these things, and was back in Chicago, I think, for the first time. I saw something in the Tribune for 6 years. It didn't seem like it was that long. Featuring some of the different establishments on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And I got a chance, as I've done a number of times, you know, on set, but this was the first time that I actually got to be a part of the show. And Ashley, I know that you're familiar with Guy, but you're one of those people that is not. You've not seen the show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? I think everybody's seen it.
My mom watches it. She loves that show. So I've seen bits and pieces when I walk through the house and I see her, like, watching it. I mean, I've been to Guy's restaurant in Vegas, so I know who he is. My brother's a huge fan of Guy, so it's in the family. I got to catch up.
It was kind of cool. So obviously, he's been on the show and interviewed him over probably a decade or more, a lot of different times. And this is an opportunity for him to go and interview me, the big switcheroo. And so it was kind of cool. Definitely check it out. We showed it to the kids, you know, a little bit of that stuff. And they decided, you know, how fat I looked. And I have to agree because they say that the camera has 10 pounds. Well, I obviously, it's a big shoot. You know, it's a very important show. They had at least 7 cameras on me. So
they added
about 70 pounds. So I'm slightly thinner than maybe I appeared, or maybe not. When we come back from this, we're going to continue on our road trip to Milwaukee, and we are going to have Joe Murawski. He is with the Milwaukee County Parks, going to talk a little China lights and all the other cool things that you can experience up there. So we're going to take, we're going to go to news right now. The news is sponsored by Gilkey Window Company, and here's Bob Kessler.
This is Joe Murawski with the Milwaukee County Parks. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
It's time to move on. It's time to get going.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And oftentimes we talk about transformative travel, the importance of kind of getting away, seeing not only the world, but maybe the world isn't really a world away. Maybe it's just a road trip away, a great family road trip away. We've talked about some to Wisconsin. We've talked about Lake Geneva. We've talked about Hayward. We've experienced some of those. But even closer than Hayward, definitely for sure, is Milwaukee, you know, kind of our city to the north. You know, we've got some rivalries on the sport side. We can get through that, right? You know, and get up there and enjoy some of the things, like the food, the beverages, the beer, the people, some of the best people in the world. And I got to tell you right now, are from Wisconsin. So on the line with us, we got one of those people. We'll include him in that group of best people. He's with the Milwaukee County Parks. It's Joe Murawski. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Hello, Dane.
Well, it's great to have you, number one, to take time out on your weekend. And this is a big time because as much as there is to do and see 365 days a year in Wisconsin, specifically in Milwaukee, specifically in the parks, you have one of your crown jewel events that just kicked off last night.
We do. It's an event called the China Lights. It's within one of our 158 parks that we have. It's in Whitnall Park at the Berner Botanical Gardens. It started last night, and we have it. It's running for an entire month.
Now, here's the thing. We've seen some of the stuff. I know we're sharing quite a bit of it, and we'll continue to do so on the station. But this is one of those things you just don't see all the time. I heard one of the lights is 200 feet long, and it's the China light. So you've got not only a lot of things to see visually, some exciting stuff. Nighttime would be a great time to get out there and see it, but also great food, cuisine. You've got some different exhibitions, dances, some educational thing. There's a lot to do.
There is a ton to do. It is chinalights.org is the website to go to. It gives some great visuals on there. And we have hundreds of figurines that light up at night. There are 41 huge, massive displays It's inexpensive. It's close to the Chicago area down there, and it's a quick road trip up. It's a great evening activity. We open up at 5:30 every night till 10 o'clock at night, and we're open Tuesday through Sunday.
It's one thing to have fun events that people can get out and see, but then, hey, it just doesn't fit with everybody's schedule to do it on that particular night. But this is something that goes on for about a month, so people can get up there, kind of plan their schedules. You can experience fall in Milwaukee and then also get an opportunity to see the lights over the course of the entire time. We talked about it just started, but also now it is going on through October?
October 21st we're going through. And it's a great, unique, literally everyone from 2-year-olds to 92-year-olds love this event, and everyone in between. It's one of those rare experiences where grandchildren, children, and the grandparents all can experience something together, and they all enjoy it. And it's just a fantastic event. You walk through acres of these figurines intermixed with the botanical garden, so it's absolutely stunning. And we have 7 different food vendors. We have beer tents, and we have sake bar and non-alcoholic beverages and a coffee bar. So it's an experience. Free parking, which is something that I know is not too common down in your neck of the woods, but we offer free parking up here. Inexpensive evening is $20 for adults. It's $12 for seniors and kids. I mean, it's just an absolutely great experience.
We're going to ChinaLights.org, I think, is the website for it. We'll have that up at WGNRadio.com. No, you're right. There's no such thing as free parking here. In fact, I almost didn't understand. I had to look it up. I had to Google, what does that mean? All right, so the botanical gardens, this isn't something that, as far as China Lights and ChinaLights.org, we'll have that website up as well for tickets and information, but it isn't the kind of thing that you just set up in a parking lot. You have it in one of the most beautiful settings in the area in Milwaukee. Talk a little bit about the gardens themselves, because they're great to visit all year.
Absolutely. This is a nationwide tour that they do the China Lights with. And some of the cities they go to do set it up in a parking lot, believe it or not. And it's just not very inviting. I've seen some of the photos. I've heard some of the attendance figures. And we're just a very unique and successful setting. We are their number one stop during the year for the attractions. It is just absolutely incredibly attended. We had over 100,000 people show up to this event last year. This year we're shooting for the same numbers. But it's an absolutely fantastic setting. Depending on the time of year you come, like you said, you can come year-round to the gardens. I wouldn't recommend a whole lot in November, December, January. But come spring, we have the tulips that are popping, and we have the gardens are accessible really April through this event in October is the best time to come.
Yep. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. And so your responsibility and kind of, in and around so much of the things to see up there in Milwaukee and in the area. So for those road trips, and we want to tell people, certainly get up there, see China Lights. You got about a month to do it. But for those people that that want to see Milwaukee and other times of the year, number one, you've got Summerfest. It's like the world's, largest outdoor music festival. It is absolutely a must-see. I know that a lot of people from the Chicago area get up there because the bands, the food, the facilities, second to none. I mean, it's an incredible event. But other than that, like, what else is there to do in Milwaukee for people on a road trip?
Well, even just our park system is just 158 parks I mentioned earlier, but we have 15 golf courses. Within Whitnall Park, there is an 18-hole championship-level golf course. The same park that has the botanical gardens has an 18-hole championship-level golf course. It has a nature center. It has a beer garden. We're also known for our beer gardens up here in Milwaukee. We're nationally recognized for some of the best beer gardens in the country. And this time of year, we still have several of them open. On the weekends, the one in Whitnall Park is open. We have 7 beer gardens in the summer months. There's golf to do this time of year, beer gardens, China Lights, Nature Center, our miles and miles of trails along Lake Michigan, absolutely fantastic. Great time of the year to experience those.
Well, you think of botanical gardens and you think of beer gardens. I'm weighing how much I want to see both. I love nature, but also I love beer, and it's so associated, and rightly so, with Wisconsin and with Milwaukee. Explain what I know what a beer garden is for a restaurant. It's just like a patio, right, where you'd be sitting outside having beer.
Well, this is better than that. We're in the actual parks themselves, where we have tables that we import in from Germany. So we have authentic German tables. We have live music in the evenings. We serve all of our beer in glassware, and it's all souvenir glassware. So you come to one of our beer gardens, you go home with a souvenir. It's excellent local craft beers. It's the beer, the music, the glass, and the settings are unmatched. You can sit in a beautiful park setting overlooking waterways. We specifically place them near other activities like playgrounds, disc golf courses. It's things for people to do, and they absolutely love bringing the family and the pets, and we'll sit and have a beverage or two, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic. We do root beer floats and sodas and things like that as well. And people can come and just enjoy the afternoon at the beer garden, get 9 holes of golf in, and go over to the China Lights at night and just make a really good day of it, or make it a whole weekend up here in Milwaukee.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Okay, well, we're going to have to stay in touch, and we'll talk about the beer garden situation coming up, maybe do a separate thing just dedicated to that. But it sounds really great. Let the listeners know we're talking with Joe Mrozinski. He is with Milwaukee County Parks. And so, Joe, for those people who want to get more information, kind of plan their visit up, whether it's the China Lights or whether it's some of those other great things to do in the area, is there a website where they can get information and kind of see what's going on?
Absolutely. Countyparks.com is our website for all the different activities throughout our park system. So countyparks.com, and then you have the chinalights.org.
We're going to have a link to that up at WGNradio.com. Joe, thanks so much for jumping in on short notice and sharing all the stuff going on, including China Lights. We're going to have more about that, I think, with someone from the organization a little bit later on the program. But thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Very good. Thank you, Dan.
So hello, this is Hui Yuan Liu from China Light. You're on the road with Bing at WGN.
WGN 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio high atop Chicagoland. And you know, at night, of course, during the daytime you can see pretty far from here. You can see probably I don't know if it was clear, maybe, you know, a certain amount of miles, maybe 20 miles, maybe 30, who knows. And if it's dark, maybe the lights, you can see them from even a distance. I'm not sure we'll be able to see all the way to Milwaukee, but when you've got a light that is 200 feet long, I think it gives us a pretty good chance. On the line with us now, and she is part of the amazing China Lights presentation, the huge event that is a month-long thing up there at the Botanical Gardens in Milwaukee, kicked off last night. We've got Hoyen Liu. Hoyen, welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
All right, so we know about it a little bit. We've seen some of the stuff on the website. This is the third year that you've done it in Milwaukee, and so you've got some beautiful pictures, and I know a lot of people are really excited. It just kicked off last night. So talk a little bit about the event itself. Just how big is it?
So this year we have 41 sets of lanterns on display, and that is more than 1,000 elements of Chinese lanterns. And it takes about at least a half an hour to an hour to walk through the park to see all the lights. And we also have two shows actually each night, so that would, the total experience would take at least an hour and a half or even 2 hours.
So it's an event to see not only the lights and the lanterns, and of course traditional from it's the Zigong region in Sichuan is known for the lanterns, so you got a lot of history that's built in. So we're going to get to a lot of the stuff related to the lanterns themselves in just a minute, but there's even more than that, right? You can spend the whole evening there. There's food stations. I think there's some different presentations and demonstrations, some other things. There's a lot of education involved.
Correct. So just like I mentioned, there's a stage performance every night, and we have also this handicraft masters who flew all the way from China as well, and they will make this handicraft, traditional Chinese handicrafts on site, and people can buy that as souvenirs.
Oh, wow. Okay, so not only can you get up there and see it, but you can go home with a little piece of China Lights as well. So talk about the lanterns themselves, because I know they are a bunch of different animals and different figurines and things like it. Dragons, right? You've got a lot of them. It's very labor-intensive to create them. You guys have had more than 30 people there since the beginning of August. They're draped in silk, right? I mean, it's a process.
Yes. So the production of the festival actually started more than half a year ago, and everything was handmade by our artisans in China. And then they were shipped here, and then we took us 6 weeks to build some of the lanterns on site and set up everything. So that's a lot of time and effort invested in this festival.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the history as well, as far as like the lanterns. Is this something, I know it's a green situation now, you're using LED lights. I think back probably throughout history, it had to be
right.
Candles, right? I mean, it was totally different.
Yeah, correct. Well, I mean, back in the days, that's how it started, I believe. And in the old times, lanterns were made of bamboo or wood and then covered with rice paper and lit with candles. And nowadays, it's bigger and brighter, and we're using LED lights to light up everything. And the materials of the lanterns have been changing. Like I said, we've been using rice paper, but now it's fabric and silk and even ping pong balls. We had a giant panda that's of almost 3 stories high that's wow. made of millions of ping pong balls right in front of the botanical garden.
Now, I know that my daughter, Eleanor, she absolutely loves pandas. And so anything that's called pandemonium is something that she's going to want to see. And even though this is the third year that you've had it up at the botanical gardens in Milwaukee, is that every year, you know, you make it a little bit different, right? So that people can come up and experience something new. Where do you get the ideas for the differences? Is it by suggestions? Like, wouldn't it be great to see some more pandas? Or do you guys have a plan with it? Or just come up with something that you think will be fun?
I think it's a little bit of both and everything. So we have our designers in China who come up with the theme and the designs. And the botanical garden, they get to decide which will fit the best, will fit the garden the best. So it's a combination. It's like lots of teamwork from both sides.
5:30 to 10 p.m. is when the China Lights are open, Tuesday through Sunday, and it goes throughout most of October as well, just kicking off this weekend. So exciting for it. And I think it's an economical thing, $20 per person for adults to get in there. You've got food. You've got some of those demonstrations, the arts and crafts, a lot of souvenirs that you can get as well. And the website is chinalights.org. As we let you go, Huyen, do you have any other kind of inspiration that people from Chicago can be excited about coming up and seeing you this month?
Well, my only suggestion will be come here early because there might be a line, and probably get your tickets online would be a wise thing to do. And the best time to come visit, I would say, is between 6 to 8 o'clock when the sun is just setting, so you can see how the light transforms from like a piece of art into something really magical.
Wow, it's magical, and it's happening all month long up there at the Botanical Gardens in Milwaukee. Huyen from China Lights. ChinaLights.org. Get all the information, get your tickets, get up there and see it. We will be seeing it. We're going to bring a bunch of listeners up there as well. So thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
No problem. Thank you.
Wow. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And we're surrounded by buildings in such a way that you can't see Millennium Park, but it is going to be jam packed for what is, I think it's the 11th anniversary of Chicago Gourmet, and excited for the theme this year. It's fun, you know, it's fun, festive, and there's always great food and amazing chefs there as well. It is, I think it's Rock the Fork, right, is the name of it. And I'll be emceeing again. They're one of those great events on Sunday, late in the afternoon. I think it's going to be 4:30. And I think that's why Ashley chose that music. It's We Will Guac You, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's going to be an opportunity to do that. We're going to have some stuff up. I know I'm going to have some stuff up at WGNradio.com, and then we'll have some Twitter stuff, and it'll be a great demonstration. There are so many things to see and do there, and I have been in and around that festival for, you know, since the beginning, since it was, and I say it all the time, year one, so lucky. I think we're also lucky because it's something that we've really grown to enjoy. It is Chicago's signature culinary event for itself, but year one, so lucky that the weather worked out. It was a beautiful weekend, still end of September. Almost anything can happen. You can ask Tom Skilling. I mean, it's never guaranteed. It could be, you know, 45 degrees with the big wind or rainy or something like that, and I want to jinx it, so I don't know that I can, but great weather. They had great weather that first time, but the first one was a bunch of wine around the side. There was almost no food at it, and it was, I just remember Rick Bayless sitting at a card table in the middle of Millennium Park signing books, but there wasn't all of the stuff that is there now and is really built out and gained not only as fans. It was, you know, I think it was well attended even then, but sold out year after year after year, and has now gotten that reputation all around the country as one of, and I think it's, you know, whether it was Bon Appetit or one of those other ones, it's one of the great food events in the country now. And so happy to be, excited to be a part of it. And so coming up on Sunday for that, we will guac you. And so if you get a chance to see me there, definitely say hi. It's always great to see listeners when we're out and about. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be promoting it this week, and we'll have some guests on. So stay tuned to WGN Radio for some of that as well. Also coming up on that same day is Grand Cajon. And this is one of my very favorite events. If you've listened to any of the things that we've done over the last like 10, 12 years, this is the pre eminent food tour that travels from city to city to city. Really high-end chefs, but also there's sometimes food trucks. It's very approachable. You'll see people for Grand Cachon, which is going to be happening on the 30th at City Winery. You'll see people in cocktail dresses and sport coats and t-shirts and, you know, hats and jeans and shorts and everything there. Cool vibe. And for a competition, a friendly competition that raises the stakes in the conversation about heritage breed pork, brings some great chefs together from around the country. We're excited here in Chicago to host Grand Cachon. Usually it's out in Aspen. So this is one of those things to have it here in Chicago coming up September 30th at City Winery. I'll be there as well, so if you get a chance to see me, say hi to that. And hopefully we'll have a couple tickets to give away before we get there next weekend. Right now, though, it is straight up 3 o'clock and news time. Stay tuned after the news. We're going to have NASCAR legend Darrell Waltrip is going to be joining us. So excited to talk to him. Right now, though, it is 3 o'clock news time. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Next Door and Window. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, a NASCAR analyst on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. Less
conversation, a little more action. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And what we see from here is the playoffs heating up, and honored to have on the line was a three-time Cup Series champion and a member of no less than four Halls of Fame, including, of course, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Part of that amazing group of broadcasters for NASCAR on Fox, the one and only DW. Darrell Waltrip, welcome to WGN.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Great to be on with you this day, and looking forward to a great race at Richmond this weekend. So a lot to think about and anticipate.
You know, not everybody looks forward to it. It isn't necessarily everybody's favorite racetrack. It's an iconic track. It's a popular track. People love it. I know the fans do, but you were always really successful at Richmond, one of the more successful drivers there. When you think about the way that the kind of playoffs are going and the way the drivers are now, can you be a one-dimensional driver these days, or do you have to be good at short tracks, at road courses even, in order to succeed?
Yeah, I think the way with the playoffs and the chase and the stage racing and the way the sport is functions these days, you got to be good everywhere. You know, you look at Brad Keselowski; he's won three races in a row. He won Indianapolis, which is a 2.5 mile kind of flat track, and then he won this past week at Vegas. Every time we go to a track, a lot of people always call a lot of the mile and a half. They call them cookie cutter tracks, just because they're a mile and a half. It's like a golf course. Every golf course is 18 holes, but every golf course is different too. And that's the way our racetracks are. They're all different. They all take a little different setup. They all take a little different driving style. But the driver that's pretty good on every kind of racetrack is the guy that normally ends up being your champion. Last year, Martin Truex was amazing on the mile and a half. And the majority of our races are on the mile and a half. But, we got to go to that short track this week at Richmond. I think one thing that's made this for a year a little more interest this year is that they changed the schedule around a little bit. And, this race, Richmond used to be the last race of the regular season. Now it's in the playoffs. And next week we're going to go to a track that absolutely nobody has any experience on other than a little testing. And everybody's worried to death about the Roval at Charlotte because it's a super speedway with a road course in the infield, and they're going to run through the infield, and there's a lot of drivers that are really concerned about what's going to happen there next week.
Yeah, well, keeping it interesting, I think, is one of those things that does it. And you look at it's now a lot easier for a lot of those drivers with the simulators to kind of get whatever kind of experience they can for some of those things that they don't get to do all the time. You mentioned Brad Keselowski, and you look at it. This isn't a guy that's come out of nowhere. Maybe this season or maybe the last couple seasons, it feels like it. This is a former champion, and he is definitely on a roll, three in a row. You are a guy that's, won three Cup championships, but you also came in second three times as well. So you know what it's like to be close there. How important is it to get on a roll at the right time?
Well, I think that's what Brad and his team, Paul Wolf's an incredible crew chief, a great strategician. I always call Brad and Paul the contrarians. They have a tendency to go in a little bit different direction than everybody else does. Maybe they pit out a sequence. Maybe they only take two tires when everybody takes four. They just always have a little bit different strategy. And sometimes that bites you, but right now it's really paying off for Brad. His pit crew's doing an amazing job. What it takes to win a championship is not any one thing. It's the sum of all the parts. You got to have a great driver. You got to have a great car. You got to have a great crew chief, and you got to have an amazing pit crew. And right now, Brad is hitting on all eight cylinders. They're not beating themselves. So many guys, at the end of the day, they look back and they realize they did, you know, maybe they were racing somebody they shouldn't have raced, or they had a tire get loose in the pits, or a speeding penalty, things that they do to themselves that takes them out of contention. And right now, Brad is on his game. He's not making any mistakes. The crew's doing an amazing job, and he's putting down the results. He's getting. He says himself, it reminds me a little bit, a few years ago, I don't know if you remember when Tony Stewart was racing with Carl Edwards. And Tony said, we don't have any business being in the chase. We're not that good. And then Tony went out and won 5 of the 10 races. So you got to peak at the right time.
Yep.
And I think that's just what Brad and his guys are doing. They're peaking at the right time. They're not beating themselves, and they're winning races.
Yeah, everybody talks about, you know, kind of the big three, those drivers that have been there, that were there all last year and that are there again this year as well. But you look at Kozlowski and what he's done, and then you look at his history, just like you had mentioned with Tony Stewart. I mean, if it's in you, it's in you. And you have that ability, I think, to jump up and win at any time. For Martin Truex, this was last year, everyone was talking about how consistent he was and whether they'd be able to take that, whether this was one of those years where he was just, you know, having an amazing year. You know, he was so good and so consistent. And is that the kind of thing you can keep up? Well, he has, right? And he's in second place right now. Do you see it kind of going down to the wire between, like, Truex taking Brad out of the equation for just a second, at least for the argument? Truex, you know, Kyle Busch and Harvick, are they going to be again last week of the season challenging for the championship?
Yeah, I think one of the things with that Furniture Row Group is, you know, they Barney Bissler, the owner of that team, announced a few weeks ago that team will be shutting down at the end of the year, which absolutely flabbergasted everybody. Nobody, you know, we're talking about the defending champion, a guy that's had an amazing run. And Barney Bissler said, that's it. I can't do this anymore. It costs too much. It doesn't make sense for me to keep doing this. So a little bit of disarray on that team right now, a little confusion about, you know, where's everybody going to do? What are we going to do next year? I think Truex and his crew chief Cole Pearn, apparently they're going to end up over there at Gibbs.
Yeah.
And those cars that Martin's been driving, they've been provided by Gibbs for the last couple of years. The alliance that they had with Gibbs, that's how come they were having such great success. But, yeah, I think you look at Vegas, and you had to beat Martin Truex. He had the car to beat, and just circumstances didn't play out just exactly right for him, and he still finished third. So Truex is the guy, particularly when we get to the mile and a half. So I think he's the guy. I think Harvick's always got a fast car. Harvick would have been a real serious contender Sunday if he hadn't had a tire issue. Kyle Busch, you know, he spun out all by himself, very uncharacteristic of him. I think everybody was pushing it pretty hard. But I think the other thing that people maybe don't consider was just how hot it was at Vegas, 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Track conditions were really, really bad, not a lot of grip. Track was slick. Cars moved around a lot. Saw Hamlin and Busch both spin off turn four, which is just very unusual for those guys. So I think guys were pushing it pretty hard at Vegas, knowing that they had Richmond coming up, and then they've got that Roval. And I'm telling you, that Roval has thrown these guys a curve, every one of them.
Does it kind of put everybody at, you know, kind of square one? Like you said, nobody's got any kind of experience or, you know, no pun intended, track record with it. It's just going to be like, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think a lot of times you go into a situation like that, with like we're going to go into a Charlotte, and the favorites have the most trouble because they try the hardest. They push it too hard. They get in the wall. There's so many places on that track to get in trouble. It's real narrow. There's not a lot of room to pass. And so sometimes a guy that just stays out of trouble survives, doesn't make any mistakes, doesn't beat himself. He finds himself with a victory. And, of course, a victory means you move on to the next round in the playoffs, and that could be huge. So, again, Saturday night will be kind of interesting because I think a lot of guys are going to go into that race and, like, I want to get enough points in the bank so that if I have trouble at Charlotte, I'll be able to go to the next round on points alone. And there are some guys are going to go in there and say, I need a win if I'm going to survive and go to the next round. So a lot of different strategies we'll see on Saturday night before we get to Charlotte.
Usually winning cures all the ills. It solves all the problems. Everybody gets along. Things work out well. And you mentioned it. You touched on it. Furniture Row. How can you be better? You have one of the up-and-coming, you know, great stars of NASCAR, and you have a team that is not just a championship team, but the current championship team and racing at a very high level. And if they can't get it done, so this is where we kind of take and want you to put your, you know, not only on the broadcast side, I think everything is going great. I think the TV contract, the racing is as entertaining as it has been, but as one of those ambassadors of the sport as well, Darrell Waltrip, what is it that can be done? I mean, because it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? You think you go out there, you succeed, you're going to benefit from that. What can the sport do? Is it the person? We've talked a lot of times, you and I, about the personalities of the drivers back, you know, when you were there, you know, you could, you know, kind of wear your heart on your sleeve. You kind of speak with passion and you could have your personality really shine. I think it was a test to the popularity. Is the corporate culture, has it maybe kind of bred out that kind of, I don't know, emotion from the drivers? Or what do you think can be done to help the sport?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, everybody has an opinion. You know, everybody's a Monday morning quarterback. Everybody says, here's what's wrong, here's what needs to be changed. I've always said the schedule needed to be looked at and possibly revamped. We did a little bit of that this year. We have a long season from February to November, 36 events, plus two special events. So I've always felt like that less was more. And in this case, more is less. And I think the hardest thing these teams are dealing with today is finding sponsors.
Right.
It takes $15 million to run a first-class operation, and that's 15 is the minimum, and sometimes it's 20 and above, and there's just not a lot of companies out there right now that have that kind of advertising budget. So Lowe's a good example. They've been with Jimmy Johnson ever since Jimmy's been in the Cup Series, and they announced that this is their last year. They're not coming back next year. So it's an expensive sport. It reminds me a little bit of the economy back in 08. We just kept buying and building and buying and building. Tracks expanded, added seats, teams added people, teams added other cars. We just really, really went through a big growth spurt, and all of a sudden the resources have dried up, and everybody's having to look at what they're doing, how they're spending their money, and where do we go from here? It's like steak and bologna. Once you've had steak, it's hard to go back and eat that bologna, but that's kind of where we are. We're at a crossroads. Got a lot of stars that are retiring from the sport. Changes in the, you know, administrative side, on the NASCAR side. There's just a lot of things going on at one time that's overwhelming, I think, a little bit to the fans and to the media, and maybe even to the people in the sport. So we need to be able to stop for a little, call time out, take a deep breath, and get our feet back on the ground. Because right now there's just a lot of things going on that are confusing, and I think it hurts the sport.
Yeah, and on the upside, you have great drivers. You have some of the, and I think some of the tweaks that have been done have led to some really, really exciting racing. And I know it's great. And so, but there's some of these things that sometimes you do the math on it, and it just doesn't add up. You know, you succeed, and then you're still struggling on the sponsor side. So I hope that we'll get there, and I know that we will. You'll help shepherd us towards that. When you talk about the events, you know, 36 different events. Well, there's just one event that is near and dear to your heart that is very important coming up as well. It's the 9th annual Waltrip Brothers Charity Championship, October 17th and 18th, Franklin, Tennessee. It is benefiting motor racing outreach. And this is a big one. You guys have raised, or you're getting into the neighborhood of $4 million for this. Some interesting things as far as some of the auction prizes now, I think, to kind of help out some of the current situation. And you got Clint Black, so the entertainment's top-notch. So, Darrell, I know you're going to tell us all about it. So hold tight here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some of the cool things going on for the Waltrip Brothers Charity Championship. Keep it here. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, a NASCAR analyst on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio High atop Chicagoland. And we've been talking, want to let people know, we've been talking with NASCAR Hall of Famer, legendary, not only driver, but broadcaster, Darrell Waltrip, about the Waltrip Brothers Charity Championship, and excited to have Darrell back with us. And you think about this, you're going to do all the things you normally do, bring people together for a great event. You're going to raise a lot of money for an incredible cause. But also this year, as in every year, you've got some great entertainment, Clint Black. You've got some really cool stuff happening on the music side.